often the turning points in the tide of history begin with God hearing and attending to those whom others ignore, which is very much like the plot of the 2006 movie Children of Men. The movie, which is set only 7 years from now in 2027, depicts a bleak future in which women's wombs have closed and no woman has been able to conceive for almost 2 decades. With no hope and humanity lurching toward extinction, suddenly a miraculously pregnant immigrant woman who needs transit papers and the baby that she carries become humanity's greatest hope. Often the turning points in the tide of history begin with God hearing and attending to those whom others ignore. Just like the woman in Children of Men, and just like Hannah. In the verses preceding today's story from 1 Samuel, we learn that Hannah, like all the women in Children of Men, have long awaited a child, yet she's unable to conceive. Hannah's husband, Elkanah, had another wife, Peninnah, who had children and used to provoke her grievously to irritate her out of jealousy because Elkanah loved Hannah and gave her twice as much as he gave Peninnah. So it went on year by year. Hannah longed for a child yet could not have one and was tormented not only by her womb's inability to foster new life, but also Peninnah's constant provocation. Until the year when, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose and was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." Not long after, Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." Often the turning points in the tide of history begin with God hearing and attending to those whom others ignore. Just like Hannah. While this is Hannah's story in which God hears her and attends to her desire to have a son, it's also the start of something wonderful and new in the Israelite story. For it has not only been Hannah's womb that is barren and empty, Israel, too, has struggled with a similar emptiness. After escaping Egypt in the Exodus with the promise of living in a promised land full of milk and honey, the Israelites have found that promised land, yet things are not nearly as rosy as the picture God painted. Israel's rulers were wicked, often serving their own interests. They were spiritually dull. The word of the Lord was not heard during that time. The priest Eli has begun to lose his sight, and the lamp of God will soon be extinguished. As one commentator said, this is a world without light, without the light of revelation and prophetic vision, without the light of both spiritual and physical perception, and without the symbolic light of God's presence. What little light remains is guttering and about to be snuffed out, as the world of the tabernacle will fall back into a dark and formless state. Furthermore, Eli's sons are scoundrels who have no regard for the Lord or for the duties of the priest to the people. They take the offering of the Lord for themselves and violate the women who serve at the tabernacle door. It is into this hopelessness, this corrupt power, and the bitter struggle with oppressive leadership that Hannah prays. Often, the turning points in the tide of history begin with God hearing and attending to obscure people or those whom others ignore. Which makes me wonder, are we currently in the years of waiting before God acts, or has God already answered someone's prayers? While we're not experiencing exactly what the Israelite people suffered through, we have tribulations of our own. And while I think it's easy to look around to see the ways that nothing seems to change and then believe that God isn't doing anything about our current predicament, or maybe wonder if God exists at all, Hannah's story reminds us that God often works in small ways with obscure or otherwise ignored people to bring about radical change. Hannah prays for a son, and God hears her and gives her a son who will be the hope that a hopeless world needs. He'll be the first in a long time to hear the word of the Lord and will help the Israelite people see that God has always been with them. And Samuel will be the spark that ignites a social turnaround for the people of Israel. God does not often exact change through people in power, but instead, time and time again, God answers the prayers of those who are oppressed, those who are poor, and the most vulnerable among us. Often, the turning points in the tide of history begin with God hearing and attending to those whom others ignore. And we are really only able to recognize it in hindsight. Which makes me wonder, who among us is God paying attention to that many of us are not? And as we struggle from day to day, week to week, with an ongoing pandemic amongst multiple other tensions, including racial injustice and a polarized election season, what prayers is God answering that will be the catalyst we need for reformation? Has it already happened, maybe? Because rarely is our story only our story. Hannah's story was not solely hers, but rather God began something new in her. And the same could be said for us. There we are so interconnected that what might begin as a plea out of despair could be the foreshock of coming seismic changes for the rest of us. And we would do well to remember that we serve a God who favors the weak and vulnerable and attends to those who have often been forgotten or ignored. It is in them that God will do God's best work, even saving the whole creation. As we are reminded in Hannah's song of praise after Samuel is born, no one is holier than the Lord. There is no rock like the Lord. All bragging must cease. Boastful arrogance must come to an end, for the Lord is all-knowing and weighs all mortal deeds. The bows of warriors are broken, while those who stumble gain renewed strength. Those who had their fill now sell themselves for crusts of bread, while those who were hungry are sated. Childless women bear 7 children, while mothers of many are forsaken. It is the Lord who deals out both life and death. It is the Lord who casts down to Sheol and raises up again. It is the Lord who makes both the poor and the wealthy. It is the Lord who humbles and exalts. The Lord lifts the weak from the refuse dump and raises the poor from the cesspool, to place them among the mighty and promotes them to seats of honor. The foundations of the earth belong to the Lord, and the Lord sets the world upon them. The Lord lights the ways of the just and delivers the evildoers to darkness. It is not by strength that the just prevail. It is the Lord who shatters foes. What we are experiencing now will not be forever. Things will change. There's no force in all of creation, no virus, no human power that is more powerful than God. And yet that power is manifested in surprising ways, at least surprising maybe to the human race. Because time and time again, the turning points in the tide of history begin with God hearing and attending to those whom others ignore.